If you were to listen to Wall Street-based business reporting, you would believe that the nation's foreclosure crisis is in the nation's rearview mirror. But a WBGO investigation has found that here in New Jersey, in places like Newark and East Orange, foreclosures are hollowing out entire neighborhoods. WBGO's Bob Henley went to a recent meeting in East Orange of local activists committed to helping their neighbors hold on to their homes.
It's a hot weeknight in East Orange City Council's chamber, and lead organizer Frederica Bay brings the hearing of Citizens Coalition to order, asking for a benediction.
Father, we ask you to bless this year of all here, assembled here this evening, Father.
On hand are dozens of residents facing foreclosure. Also in attendance, members of the City Council, including Councilman Ted Green, who just won the town's June primary for mayor. He introduces fellow councilman Romal Bullock, who as a tax assessor in Newark is on the front lines of an underreported neighborhood economic implosion.
When I was a little kid, the sheriff, you hear about the sheriffs out in the Wild West. It was a cartoon, Ricochet Rabbit, the sheriff out here enforcing the laws. But now I work in full time for the city of Newark as a tax assessor. And the sheriff that I know much more of today, I know the sheriff as the name on top of foreclosure deeds. And there are lots and lots and lots of them. Every day they come through.
Just Googling foreclosure online on real estate sites like Zillow, you'll see just how widespread the crisis is for places like East Orange, Newark, even Atlantic City. A steady stream of speakers tell their family story. Janet Mitchell had a hard time holding back her tears.
And I've been living in East Orange for over 40 years. But my problem is with my aunt, Pauline, that I'm trying to fight, who's a senior, who lost her home after her husband paid for her home through tax sale in East Orange. And it really bothered me so much that I'm even trying to fight for her for the longest while to even get into a senior home, and nothing has happened. Her home was on fire. The day before Christmas, she was homeless. I found somewhere for her to stay, but where she is very uncomfortable. And her home was lost for a tax lien sale for less than $500, which she did not know at the time. But because of her losing her home, she lost the savings and everything like that. So I'm here fighting for my aunt, and I'm even trying to fight for my home on 84 McKay Avenue.
Charlotte Cardenas tells the crowd that a foreclosure program she signed up for, promoted by the Obama administration, was great for a few years, but now has got her behind a mounting mortgage interest eight ball.
Although I am not facing foreclosure right now, I can foresee it coming very soon. Back in 2009, when we had the collapse, I signed a deal with Chase for a 2% Obama deal for 5 years, okay, as everybody pretty much knows. Those 5 years was a great thing because you got 2% and you were able to try to meet the mortgage and so forth. But what I didn't know is the fact that the interest off of those 5 years now is going behind the loan. So instead of owing $200,000, now I owe $300,000. And for the next 5 years, once the five-year mark for the 2% is done, now I will be increasing my interest based on the whole amount, which is the $300,000, at 1% each month, each year, for 5 years. So that is where I am now. So that means that shortly I will be facing foreclosure proceedings because there's no way that I can manage that amount.
Irvington resident Clifton Beckley, a Vietnam-era veteran, is a success story. Working with New Jersey Communities United and local veterans, he fought foreclosure, and ultimately the bank relented and negotiated a deal that kept him and his family in his home. He coaches the crowd not to be ashamed, but to organize.
Because the psychological part of this, by people being ashamed that they've gotten themselves in this situation, they're going to lose their home, so we don't do anything. One day you have a neighbor, and the next day you get up and that house is empty. And a lot of times that's because that person is ashamed of what has happened to him, thinking that it's his fault. So I'm speaking to each and every one of you, come out of that. If you don't fight, you will never win.
Laura Walsh is a consumer advocate and anti-foreclosure activist. She has counseled hundreds of families and works with a Passaic County lawyer, Joseph Chang. Walsh says local residents are now paying the price for the federal government's decision to bail out the nation's largest Wall Street banks.
Public policy in the United States in 2007 and in 2008, when they discovered there were no mortgages and the mortgage-backed securities, that somebody was going to take the loss. And the decision was made at the highest bastions of power in this country that the people were going to take the loss. And by people, I mean taxpayers, which is everybody here, right? And homeowners. And that was the decision. And that's what occurred. And that's what you see playing out in New Jersey at this time.
Wall says it's key that homeowners know their rights and educate themselves about basic legal procedures, including things as elementary as how they are legally supposed to get the foreclosure notice in the first place.
Proper services. Hello. Is this Jane Doe? Yes. Here. That is service. Service is not throwing the complaint and the summons on the porch. Service is not throwing it at the curb. Service is not giving it to your neighbor or somebody you may never have met 6 blocks away. This happens all the time. You have a right to be properly served because the court cannot make you do anything unless, hello, here occurs. Okay? If that did not happen, that is one of the few instances where the court will roll back the foreclosure.
Walsh told the crowd that there is a stark contrast between how families facing foreclosure in places like East Orange are treated from those of families in a similar situation in white suburbs.
Normally, what happens, and this is the difference between white and black communities, and I'm embarrassed to tell you, but, you know, it's true. In white communities, somebody from a real estate office will knock on the family's door and find out if they're living there and if they have plans to leave before an eviction date is set. And usually they give them a letter, and that letter will offer cash to cover moving expenses. That doesn't happen much here, okay? But it should, and that's something that happens in other communities.
Anita Sims Rainford from East Orange had a full career at AT&T and spent 10 years after that working for the Newark Public Schools. For her, back-to-back deaths in her family found her on the brink of foreclosure. After the forum, she said she was glad she came.
For most of my life, I've been able to pay my bills and have discretionary income. I had hit a perfect storm of hard times, caring for my mother and my husband, who both died in March within a week of each other. And also, I'm currently unable to work. And with all of that happening, being a caregiver and so forth, I fell behind, and so now I find myself in a position of being foreclosed on. I think this information is helpful because I can see a way out of this situation. I don't believe it's hopeless.
So far, the Hearing of Citizens Coalition has managed to get the ear of key political players like former Assembly Speaker Sheila Oliver and State Senator Ron Rice, who have drafted a proposal for a statewide foreclosure moratorium. For the WBGO Journal, I'm Bob Henley in East Orange.